You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you please join me for a word of prayer? Gracious God, I thank you for the many ways that we are blessed in this Easter season. First, that it is a season and we have many days to praise you for your resurrection, but for the hope and the joy and the energy that comes from it to empower us all through our spiritual walk. Blessed be with us as we seek to delve more deeply into the mystery that is you in this time together. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Along with Mary saying, how can this be, when she finds out she's going to have a child without ever having had sexual relations with a man, this may be the biggest understatement in Scripture. They were glad when they saw the Lord. How do you feel if somebody you loved deeply and had watched die, not were convinced were dead, but watched them die, had come back to life? Wouldn't you be a little more than glad? We were watching Apollo 13 last night, and if you don't remember what happened with that mission, there was an explosion on board, and they had to return without actually landing on the moon. When the explosion, they thought, had damaged the heat shield on the bottom of the lunar reentry module, because it had been right up against where the explosion was. What that meant, that as the lunar module was transitioning from the frozen blackness of outer space to the friction of re-entry, which makes it look like a meteor coming down, it's so hot, that like a piece of pottery that has a microfracture, or your ice cubes when you pour hot water over it, and the thing would explode midair. That was the great fear. Well, upon re-entry from outer space, you reach a place where the radios don't broadcast because there's too much interference from the amount of heat that's being generated. That never had lasted before longer than 3 seconds. And the radio silence came on, and you hear the static over all the airwaves. The thousands of people who've worked to bring them home safely in the wake of the disaster, and all the families are pictured as 3 seconds becomes 4 seconds, becomes 5 seconds. And you see their faces fall, and they begin to curl into one another and weep. And all of a sudden you hear John Lovell's voice, "Houston, are you there?" And everyone erupts in joy. That's how they felt when they saw the Lord. The gladness with which they greeted the risen Lord has been the energy that has propelled the church for nearly 2,000 years. It's what makes missionaries risk their lives that someone else may know the story of Christ. It's what holds together people who need to endure a difficult situation for the sake of faithfulness to Him or witness to others. It's what drives every church building. It's what drives people to give sacrificially so that the ministry of God can continue both to us, to our loved ones, and to people we will never meet. We're here celebrating our 50th anniversary this year because people who are mostly dead said, "I wonder what we can build for the next generation to proclaim the gospel." They were ecstatic that they had seen the Lord. And when we have seen the Lord, it changes the way we see everything else. An encounter with the living God always does this. And this was even true before the incarnation. This is true before Jesus. Psalm 148 today is a marvelous thing. It's riffing on Genesis 1, if you didn't realize that. If you go back and read Genesis 1 when you get home, you'll see Psalm 148 runs in parallel. So the great thing about Genesis 1 is it's a bit of smack talk by our Jewish brethren, by our Jewish forebearers, to all the pagans around them. They're like, hey, you know that sun that you worship and the moon that you worship? Our God just uses them to decorate. Look at him put them up there. The mountains that you think are so powerful, and Poseidon running the ocean. Yeah, guess what? Our God's in charge of that too. And by the way, the sea monsters that you write great stories about your heroes conquering, he keeps them as a pet. And as the culminating thing, instead of worshiping trees and animals and this kind of stuff, God puts his own image in the form of us into the world, that we might minister to the creation rather than worship it. And in Psalm 148, all these things that God has made are all of a sudden singing his praises. Like that wonderful song by Rich Mullins, The Color Green, where he talks about how the color green is how God's creation praises him. It's as life returns to the earth in the spring and everything gets green again. You can feel the life surging up to praise the God who made it. And that's before the incarnation. Jesus comes as Yahweh in the flesh and says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And now, to poor Thomas, who isn't there when he shows up. Poor Thomas, I call him poor Thomas because he's forever remembered as doubting Thomas. You did notice that as this reading ends, he's the first one to say, my Lord and my God. Why don't we remember him for that? But Thomas is disappointed that he hasn't seen God. Maybe you feel that way. There's times I know I have. I prayed for that miracle or asked God to show his face. Frankly, we talked about this. Times late Saturday night, you're going, God, you have anything for me to say tomorrow morning? That disappointment turns to joy. As Jesus says, test me. Try me out. Put your hand here. Put your finger there. Don't persist in unbelief, which is a more literal translation of the words there, but believe. And as Thomas falls to his knees and says, my Lord and my God, Jesus says, you know who's really blessed? Those who have not seen and yet believe. It's us. Unless you've had an experience I haven't had. We are blessed because while we haven't seen the physically risen Jesus yet, we have come to faith through reading his book. By hearing his words proclaimed to us, the story of what he's done for us, and the Holy Spirit drawing us unto him. Now, both books are written by God. The book of nature that we see portrayed in Psalm 148 is written by God, and the scriptures are written by God. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago. One of my favorite authors is a guy named Paul Kingsnorth. Paul Kingsnorth is a Christian writer, but he was only baptized about 2 years ago in a river in Ireland in April. Do you know how cold it is? But he wanted to be baptized out in nature because that is how he had come to the Lord. See, Paul Kingsnorth had been an environmental activist for 30 years. From his teens, he had been involved in this. And he had gotten into nature worship. First, he started in Zen Buddhism. Then he moved over to Wiccan. And he was actually a witch. He was a warlock in a coven. And he was having these experiences. And his wife at dinner one night said to him, I think you're going to become a Christian. And he says, my wife gets weird vibes, and so she's got a sense. I was like, that's the weirdest, that's not going to happen. And then he got an email from Africa. And in the email it says, you will come to know God when you read the book he has written, the book you've been reading for 30 years, meaning nature. And just as Romans 1 says, he was drawn into God and finally into Christ. And he stood in that river and was dunked under the water three times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because the nature he had first worshipped, sensing that there was some sort of spiritual thing going on there, he now knows that spiritual thing was the creator behind what he was seeing, not the stuff itself. In the same way, we who have come to know Christ know him as the divine Logos, the Word of God, as the beginning of John's Gospel said. And that Word is the ordering principle behind all of this nature that inspires us, whether we be Christians or romantic poets or something else entirely. See, once we've come to faith, in a sense, whether we've seen Jesus or not, we can see him everywhere. In fact, we can't help but see him. The eyes of faith change nature red in tooth and claw, as Julian Huxley said. He's referred to as Darwin's bulldog. Instead of seeing nature red in tooth and claw, we see a divinely ordered cosmos given to us to tend as a garden by a loving Father who didn't need to share it with us in the first place. When we have come to faith, we see God everywhere. In the face of a stranger, in the glory of a sunrise. I had an experience of this, one of my first years in ministry, 1997. I made the mistake of planning a 10-day youth trip. I say 10 days because you guys have done it with me. If you think a week's tiring, add an extra 3 days. Everyone had a great time, don't get me wrong, but we were dragging by the end of it. And y'all been on vacation with your families, right? And you love them, but by day 5, you're like, I need to take a walk. We were kind of having that with each other. The boys were fighting with each other, just like I remember doing in high school over the girls. The girls had their own thing going on, and everyone just was, I got to day 8 of that trip, and I looked at the kids and I said, guess what? Today is Sunday. We're on a YMCA camp in Estes Park, Colorado. There's a chaplain in there. That's who's leading worship. I'm going to go worship too. But see that mountain right there? The one that goes 2,000 feet above tree line? That's where I'm going to worship. You're only welcome to come if you keep up without complaining. So my wife and I and 5 kids? Yeah, out of 22, climbed the mountain. The rest of them went to the chapel. And as we broke the tree line and we sat down on some of those big rocks you can find in the Rockies, I looked down the Great Divide. And if you've never had the chance to do that, it's awe-inspiring. You know that everything to your left, as I was looking, because I was looking north, everything to my left, and any rain that fell on that side of the mountain would end up in the Pacific Ocean. And everything that fell to the right would end up in the Atlantic. And I thought about the sovereignty of the God who was over all this. And although I had been serving him all week, I've been running without sleep to serve him all week. I've been leading devotions. I've been jimmying around things. I've been handling the food. I've been doing all this stuff along with all the other adult helpers who are helping me. It wasn't till that moment that I slowed down enough that I was still to know that he is God, as Psalm 46:10 tells us, that I could see Jesus my Lord. I saw him in the sun, I smelt him in the air, I saw him in the faces of the kids who were up there with us. And my wife, who's smarter than I, says, hey honey, do you know this song? And she had me sing it, and I fumbled through the chords because I didn't really know it that well. For our hymn of the day, I want to invite you to sing it with me now. It was popular in the 70s, so a few of you may know it. The rest of you can join in as you kind of get a feel for it. So we're going to go to the hymn of the day, Julia.
Have you seen Jesus, my my Lord. He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever looked at the sunset with the sky mellowing red and the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say that you've seen Jesus my Lord. Have you seen Jesus my Lord? My Lord, have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever looked at the cross? The man hanging in pain, and the look of love in his eyes. Then I say that you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord?
Join me for a word of prayer. Lord, help us to see you everywhere. In the glory of the creation you ordered, in the sacrifice of the cross whereby you redeemed us and thereby it. In the face of friend and stranger, in all these things, may we see you. And like those first disciples, be glad. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night. King or sleeping, thy presence, my light.